Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Psalm 77:8. Doesn't it maternalize, though, within our souls, within our physicality? The logic and reason doesn't take us there. We birth it like it's conception. We're pregnant by it. It grows within us. Before you know it, we're hatching the egg. We're producing it. It becomes a harvest. The offspring of the pro-life that we've created in the sense of our testament of love, of repentiveness, of forgiveness is no more than a testament of what he's given and delivered for us. Or does it cease? And at some point, does it stop within life? Are we altered by some sort of a stop sign? Stop! What are you doing? What about God? What about Christ? Do we go backwards before we go forwards? And shall we, do we have to suffer before we are forgiven and are we redeemed? Good morning. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Life or Death Ministries. I'm shell-shocked this morning. I have no clue. I haven't even known what to say. How could it be that even after forgiveness, such a dramatic event hanging on the cross, put in there, and in 3 days he's risen indeed. We've watched this. We went through the movement, the sorrow, the sadness, the agony. After all of that, and it was for us, forgiveness still doesn't exist. Well, the only thing that we have to offer one another is condemnation. I'm here to judge, to ridicule you. But I said that God is love. Didn't you hear me? God is love. There is no alternative to love, by the way. There's not that shaded gray area. I'm stuck somewhere in the middle with you, right? Not like that. No, I'm not quite there. No. It's either you love or you hate. You've either got it or you don't got it. I got you, remember? So how about that? Why is it that formality? Why is it that mindset of deliverance? I think the practicality of our existence forever ceased. Now you think about this. Somebody starts bothering you. They're starting to knock on your door. They're coming at you in ways they don't want to. You're listening to them as they're needing to go to sleep. You flick them in the head. Whap! You're hoping that it's enough. Some of us, you want to grab a fly swatter. Wham! I don't know if they're like parasites or something. All right, I think different. Let's get over it. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? But steadfast love and the type of love that he has for us, it's so consistent. It's unconditional. It lasts forever. It doesn't stop. It's not annihilated. It's not upheaved. There's not an emotional event that creature could have created that stops it or prevents it from happening. And what about forgiveness, if you might ask? Are you not forgiven, truly, regardless of what events and what venues that you've darkened? And why shall you be darkening those events? Because with him, and when you seek him within those events, it is loomed, it is lit, it is bright. It is what you seek is what you find. But when you encompass your own wants and your needs or the condemnation of the spirit and the soul, then it darkens that venue. Is every one of our souls darkened, though? Isn't there power within the darkness? Don't we find greatness within the darkness? Sometimes we have to repent against ourselves. How many occasions do we use the excuse repentance only so that we can have what we want? But I don't get it. Repentance can't be used against somebody else. How could it? How should it be? Repentance is only an acknowledgement of what he wants for you. My straight ways have been led crooked. Oh, we're quick to reference how your crooked ways can be made straight. My straight ways have been led crooked. By who? By nobody other than me. By my own wants and my needs. Now I'm trying to turn this train around. I'm trying to move in the other direction. I need to find a way to get back to it. So we repent to ourselves. We're never repenting to somebody else. I shall repent against what you have going on. Turn the other cheek. I mean, consent is very valuable. Consent is part of the formality of that steadfastness. I'm capable of saying yes and saying no. Some of us will say, well, you want moderation. You only need God. But you need substance, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, right? Very good. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Excellent. A sense of devoted passion. But I only need it in moderation. It's still important for me to have my own. But that's like trying to live life without oxygen, without trying to breathe, without water, without the consumption. I'm not sure if you eat or if you drink or if you outright breathe. I get real mad and sometimes I'll say, ask that person if they breathe while they're asleep. And it's some sort of a very good humor, right? Everybody starts laughing. It's like, oh my goodness. Some individuals are hooked up to machines while they sleep, so I think different naturally. It only takes a few drops and your life is completely changed forever. But are we devoted within that mindset, right? Are we continuously having him as the forefront? There is no alternative. Because of his steadfast, unconditional love that isn't reckless, that is tried, that is true, that is weathered, that provides that sustainment. It's an out for us. I'm out. What do you mean? No, I've got God. Don't you remember I've got Christ? He's the reason why I'm saved, why I'm redeemed, why I'm forgiven. I don't need to be told anymore. I don't need to deal with the lacerations of expression that you find to be relevant. Everybody starts looking around like, damn, for real? And I excuse the terminology, but think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. How many of us, well, I don't need stitches. I don't need scars. I don't want lacerations. I don't want to be whipped. I don't want to be chastised. I mean, my goodness, the chains of sin and wickedness and death have been lifted off of you because of Christ. That's steadfast, isn't it? Doesn't it continue to advance? So the mentality and the mindset that forgiveness isn't practical, now you live in a sense of condemnation, you birth that. You grow it. It's a seed. You plant it. It's intellectual conception. You water it. You're watching it grow. You're building upon that dynasty. You build it up. You build it up. You build it up. You build it up. You get to the top. You get to the top. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. It's a sense of glorification. And we're taking it there. Seek and ye shall find. Who are you? Truly, where did you come from? And where are you going, if you don't mind me asking? How much did that itinerary cost? You know, I ain't mad at you. So think about your devoted steadfastness. And how it is directly relevant to you. Spend the rest of your life living in the shadow, in the darkness, condemned by yourself and by others, because forgiveness isn't practical, because you're not capable of forgiving, you're not capable of letting go. And by the way, shall you ever, and we just had a heated discussion about this, shall you ever enter any season, any venue, any moment, acquaintance, social gathering, to where Christ is not at the forefront of the topic of interest? You're capable of saying no thank you. You're capable of turning the other cheek. You're capable of repenting and walking away. And I'm going to tell you the outright honest truth. God forgive me. You walk up into a courthouse and they're pushing something on you and God and Christ aren't in the picture. Do you know what type of right you've got? You've got the type of right you can say no. You can turn the other cheek and you can walk away. Well, they ain't God on earth. That's all it came down to. So the steadfastness of staying true to him, persistence pays off. That's what they were trying to say. I'm known for being very persistent. If I want it, I'm going to get it. Not at the cost and expense of somebody else, but I seek eternity. There is no other alternative. I'm going to take you there, right? And that's the type of mindset. I'll take you there. I'm going to get myself to that spot. So we continue to climb, and we work our way all the way up. And as a redhead, stepped child, and somebody that's waiting to take a drink of water, and oh, waiting to exhale, boom, click, flick to the forehead, out the door you go. I apologize. But we continue to climb. We climb that ladder. We become aggressive within our own development on how we perceive life, the deceptiveness behind it, and what we find to be fruitful. Our bountiful harvest, right? I don't have a life to lose. How come? Because my life belongs to him. It's unconditional. Think about what I'm saying. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And some individuals, you hear them, lions are the ultimate species of this world. You categorize. I think it's ethnicity, race, and demographics. Somebody talks about what your actual competence is. Did you say worth? Lord, forgive me. What about eternity? So, faith conquers kingdoms, enforce justice, obtain promises, stop the mouth of lions. But I believe, and my belief shall not be shattered, and shall not be destroyed. This solid foundation that I stand upon shall be hold near and dear. And what aspects of your life does that apply to, if you don't mind me asking? My personal, my professional, my intellectual, spiritual, emotional, my substance, even my economical. I'm looking for outright prosperity. I am so blessed. I am redeemed. Yes, me. Yes, you. I'm blessed. So we think about taking that with us. We take about the glory of love. The glory of love. Is it a privilege, would you say? Is it something that can be taken away from you? Only if your consensual basis of growing and manifesting into something that isn't pure in thought, word, and deed. So if your thoughts, if your deceptiveness, the perception that you see isn't leading back to him, you're not finding glorification to be anywhere within your realm of thoughts, you don't really store any treasures in anywhere Right? And it's more deceptiveness. You're trying to lead not only yourself astray, but other individuals astray because you think that it's right. I mean, I'm over here like wrong, left now. And you know, I think different. Then change the way you live. The theory, the reason, the way you talk about it, the way you approach it, it ain't going to do it for you. But the moment, and new habits and new routines, it takes 21 days to create a new routine. All you got to do is stay true to it. Create a routine. 21 days. It becomes a habit. It's a new routine. I got it. You know what I'm saying? I pick up a new routine at the fitness center. How are you going to do it? 21 days. I'm going to stay active to it. Boom, boom, boom. Set an alarm. Set a reminder. I'm going to stay tried and true to it. There are countries and nations, they stop the clock, the world stops at certain hours, and they all stop praying. I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to give thanks to my Creator, my Savior. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't even be here. Some of us think about this. We don't care. We don't want to care. We're not interested. It's only good for us when it's good for us, but when it doesn't provide anything. And can you give me an example? Sure. I've got an extreme amount of overhead in this ministry. Lots of money's going out actively each and every day. I need some money. Well, I need money. That's the reason why I'm doing this. So I can continue to advance this ministry so I can spread His word. I'm looking for advancements in education, in health, in doctrine, in lecturing. And all these different aspects. I started to build a church, a body, a state. Yeah. We're talking about that hospital clinic, some things like that. But you know, I'm devoted each and every day and I'm not seeing any kickback, any return. I'm putting my own money out here and I'm not getting anything. Is it quite a bit? More than you could imagine. It's a high percentage of the money that I make. And it's all going into this. Sometimes everything you give is not enough when it becomes to be about you. But if you look at it in the mindset of Him, I know that there's still that mustard seed that's out there actively grasping. I know there's at least one heart, soul, mind that's holding on to that message. I don't care what the cost is, the price that was paid for my salvation. He is risen. Yes, He is risen indeed. Far exceeds anything that I could ever accomplish. So I can't make it about me, however bad I would want to. Lord, forgive me. I truly want recognition for the work that I'm doing, continuing my Father's work and spreading the good news. Cheers, if you would. Yes, 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 I want, I want, I want, I want. And I think that wants and needs are very relevant, don't you? Because your wants and needs can be fulfilled when you keep God, when you keep Christ, the Holy Spirit, the enactment, the substance at the forefront of your life. Everything is about them and it's about the growth within me. So me is them and them is me. We are one, united as one. Excuse me, am I doing something wrong? Like, how come I'm not seeing you in person? Did you want me to continue to just like live a lie the rest of my life? God intended that we shall be together. Well, of course, I think different. Don't deceptively ruin your own cause. If the probability of you being successful, success measured in the score of eternity, is only deceptive to what your wants are, don't ruin it. Don't cut your hand off. Don't cut your foot off. Don't stumble and fall. Find ways to be proactive within your faith. Good acts, good works, and trying to advance in this world. It'll take you somewhere to where you won't regret any decisions. Try making it about Him for one day if you could. Why not? Why wouldn't you? What do you got to lose? So what do you got? What do you got to bank on? It's the midlife crisis here. I'm standing at the wayside with my thumb up, right? Or I'm sitting at the train station and I've got change, but not quite enough to purchase that ticket. And I'm wondering if I shall leave and I get on that train, do you think that they're going to catch me? Do you think that they'll have odds of upheaving me? What if it don't work? Oh my goodness. So what do I actually have? Hebrews 6:12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, my inheritance is the inheritance of heaven. Remember, I have promises, and promises are the word that I give. It's the commitment that I have. We all like commitment, don't we? I made a commitment that I'm going to change myself, the only person I can change. I made a commitment to her. How long does it last for? For eternity. So it may not hold me down or keep me sluggish in thought, in word, in deed, and not be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's part of my inheritance. There's nobody that can stop that from me. I'm guaranteed to get that. I am a child of the Most High. That is the point. It's not about somebody else. It's about me, because it's about him, because I make it about him. Joshua 21:45, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Ooh, geez. So every commitment within that steadfastness, within the unconditional love, every one of the promises of eternity, we are a chosen race, the people. You don't have to live in chains and sins and wickedness and death. You can have everything you want and an abundance of it, because there are no excuses and it's 100% blameless. My Lord, have mercy. So there's no creature that can nullify that or gratify it or take it to a spot where it doesn't belong. I tell you what, I'm trying to plant that seed today. I'm trying to clone it too. I'm trying to get a little root tone. We'll let it grow a little bit. I'll cut the branch at a certain angle, put it in a wet paper towel, put some root tone on it, set it in the dark for a little bit. I'll let that branch start growing roots. Oh, that's right. Multiply. Love multiplies the sense of growth, pro-life and procreation. Well, what is life? Didn't we have this discussion? There was a heated discussion. We had it with Loyola Marquette University. It was Chicago, Milwaukee. Definition of life. I think Boston College got involved. We had some 12 to 13 year olds, some extreme PhD, right? Around that level, what is the value of life? Not one person came back that life is God and God is life. Well, we were getting there, but life was no more than the definition of the excuse of how we perceived it and how we walked within it. So it was no more than a confession. It was lazy, if you would. I was a red marker. I wanted to be the red marker today. I wanted to draw a big F on the paper and I wanted to circle it. It was lazy. What is life? Well, God is life. Life is love. Love is life. Isn't that what it is? It can't be deceptively what we want it to be. But of course it can. He gave you that life so that you can build your own. Well, we take it there, don't we? The deceptiveness, the promise of eternity. Somebody said inheritance. I wonder how much it's worth. Better look at tax codes. I think there's a limit per year. I'm not quite sure. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Ooh, my goodness. Are you repenting? Confession, forgiveness, repentance. Excellent. We're taken there. And notice where, not in theory and not in reason, not in socially what's leaving and escaping our mouths, the verbal reprimandation. Can you hear me? Good. Not like that. But the defilement of the body and the spirit. For my house, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But my body is the temple, the synagogue, the focal point, the heart, soul, mind, and the body and the spirit. Excellent. Bringing holiness to completion. I am one within. I'm not judged and ridiculed by creature. My answer is no. Did you know that privacy is God? You heard me on this topic, right? The social media outlashing, if you would. Privacy is God? What does that mean? You have privacy when you have God. He is your witness. There's nobody else that can invade your life. They can't tell you what's right for you, what's wrong for you. They can't tell you you're going up, you're going down. They can't tell you to stop. They can't tell you to go. But you're the one that's capable of being in charge in your life. You know, how could anybody in this world suffice, be alive, have a sense of gratitude? Is steadfastness something that I can possess? How can we have steadfastness if we ourselves are incapable of leading a life when other individuals are making decisions on us and for us? Sometimes you feel like you hear somebody talking and you just want to clothesline them. I mean, it's good to hang out and dry, but I think more along the lines of a hammer, and it works real well. How many ounces is that one? What brand? Where'd you get that from? Where'd you going? So I think that our maternalization, as we possessively walk, includes the aspect of dynamic of fulfillment. And what is the ultimate end game? If the end game shall involve somebody else other than your creator and savior, don't forget about the Holy Spirit. Some would say it's the Holy Ghost and it gets kind of spooky at night. Did you say the fear of God? We're reminded that when we make the right decisions 24/7, that we have rewards and they come from our Father above and is a reminder of eternity. But when the wrong decisions gets made, it's not our neighbor, it's not our brother or our sister or our spouses. It's not our congregational members that are pointing the finger at us, that are condemning us with our unconditional doubt of forgiveness. No, that doesn't happen. Not in this world, it shall not, but only it's our own notion of trying to improve for him. Because I can improve for him and he can improve for me. I seek eternity and he seeks to have me in eternity. I am a chosen race. I am one of his own. But it takes form, doesn't it? And when you walk within that practice, when the acts, the laboring of the deeds, when you're down on your knees repenting, right? And some of us, we got them real fancy stools. They're kind of leaned up. You grab it, you pull it down, and poof, it sits down. It's got little padding on it. It's a nice little color, and you get to set your knees on it, and you're down on your knees, and you're praying, and you feel all so cozy. Not me. I'm going right down to the hardwood floor. Put my knees down on the ground. Lord, forgive me. I think it's a little bit of abrasiveness, right? There is love within pain and pain within love, but it takes flesh within the competence of walking within it. So there's two ways that flesh takes form, isn't it? One is within what? The negligence to where you're being defiled, to where you're making mistakes, to where you've cut your own hand off, you've cut your foot off, and you've led yourself astray. That's when it gets to that level, the steadfastness you're walking within it. And the other one is no more than the confession, the repentance, when you're down on your knees and you're practicing the other side of it. So when I think about this, there's a level of fulfillment. You have the dark side, you have the bright side, you have righteous and you have evil. And I'm not referencing the child or the adult or their spiritual maturity. Did somebody say you're climbing the ladder? Or was it ladder? I'm not quite sure. We could seek the definition. Merriam-Webster, I would imagine. Romans 8:6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and is peace. So, you know, and the leprosy, you know, I kind of got it washed off. Contacted a local doctor. They hooked me up. I'm good to go. You know what I mean? I see you. I ain't mad at you. But the spirit can never be defined. Wash me and cleanse me of my sins and my inequities and keep me pure in thought and word and deed. Yes, truly, it's from the inside. It's what lies on the inside that is very, very important. Love is not blinded. It's not a placebo. I don't look at it as an alternative. I see individuals for who they are, and I'm capable of accepting them. I'm capable of loving them. I'm capable of embracing them. For the love that he has for me endures all its multitudes of nations. I shall not condemn, nor shall I perceive anybody else and lead them astray. For this flesh that I've been given is no more than a confession that it goes back to him. And you heard what I said. Well, she gets me. She won. I'm outright married. I mean, I'm not. I'm single. You don't see any rings on the finger. Lord, forgive me, but I definitely believe in commitment. She gets me. She gets me until I die. And even after I die, she gets to keep me. But then as she shall pass, as this too shall pass, then I go back to the church. How very relevant, the flesh, but it's about the heart, soul, and mind. So the body escapes and the spirit still lives on and it goes back to the church. Another topic, another discussion, very, very relevant. Some of us have taken it to that level, the equilibrium. We're floating above home. We're Zen-like, a little bit of Buddhism. Did you see that? They had something in a pot. They were ringing the bell. It smelled very good. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And immediately we're so shallow. Immediately we're so shallow. My body is the temple. He wants me to have fulfillment, my wants and my needs, whether it is girlfriends, whether it is spouses. I don't look at what's being put in my life as a curse. In fact, I view it as a blessing. Whatever I've been given, whatever I am receiving, whoever he's given to me. And at this point, I don't have anybody, but Lord, forgive me. Whatever I am receiving, it is a blessing because he's given it to me. He's doing it for me. And it's truly about him. It goes right back to him. So now I'm not one of the flesh anymore. It's more of that spiritual sense of being Zen. You know, you can't touch this. Can't touch this, right? And think about it. Think about what I'm saying. I go back to him. It's possessive within that form. No, I can't touch myself. I belong to him. Don't you understand? If I shall dare to lead myself astray, the only person that can lead me astray, and also the only person that can forgive me, self, right? Him, he lies within me in thought, word, and deed. Then it's my own problem. But the steadfastness of my unconditional love shall prove to be true in the glorification of eternity. You know what I'm saying? No, I need. Did you hear me? No, I need. I need. Well, I'm not mad at you. I still got a whole bunch of love for you, more than you could ever imagine. So we deceptively erase, right? We're going to erase it. This part of life didn't work out. But my grandmother, you shall try. Here. What is it that you need? Did you forget about him? Every time you fail, where are you going? Try. Where are you going? What did you need? Did you forget about him? The moment that they start pointing the finger at creature, I'm out. I can repent, turn the other cheek, walk right out the door. But if it's about Christ, if it's about God,
And he doesn't limit you. He doesn't put you in chains and shackles. We're not going to be limited in any way, shape, or form. Then you shall not, and you don't have anything to worry about. But the possessiveness of blameless. I said I don't owe anybody anything, and they don't owe me anything. Why? Because true worth at its very best comes from him. It's eternity we're referencing here, and I can't afford to lose it. No, I'm a chosen race. I'm one of his. You haven't seen me? You said who? I said Jesus of Nazareth, remember? My creator, my savior, the one, the architect, the shepherd. Mm-hmm. Can I get a little bit of that? Thank you for joining me another very, very upheaving episode of Life or Death Ministries. Be sure to follow Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check out the Buzzsprout feed. You'll see that I'll be releasing prayers daily and having some different topics of discussion. I'm asking that some of the listeners respond with questions or testaments to how it directly involves or impacts their life, the topics for discussion. When they listen, I want to know how it's impacting you, how he's working within you, and how it's improving your life. I'm trying to get to a point where we can have these webinars, we can get online, and we can be blessed together. Why don't we close in prayer? Our graciously Heavenly Father, continue to guide us and lead us with holiness, with gracefulness, with joy, and with acceptance. Let our debts not become a burden, but let our investment in you become our prosperity to being lifted, to not having any chains and shackles, to having fulfillment each and every day, reminding me and everybody else that because of you, there are no limitations, there are no restrictions. And if we shall ever find ourselves completely blind, stumbling and falling and upheaved instead of on our knees repenting, but outright hanging in the toilet and upchucking, if you would, remind us that you are still there for us and that because of you, there are no excuses, there are no limitations, and there are no restrictions. Continue to guide us and to teach us what unconditional, steadfast love means and the purpose of it for eternity for your chosen race. With love, with compassion, and grace, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.